continuing to rest today as much as possible, as much as needed. And also starting to feel for some kind of continuity in the day, so that the coming to the meditation hall, walking down the hill, wiping off the grass from the feet, etc., coming in, all can be held as sacred. And at the same time, a sense of coming into the hall and settling in for a slightly different opportunity to be still. And when we go out and begin walking meditation, we've walked to get there. So letting those steps also be light and connected. And also letting there be a slight difference when we begin, letting walking kind of swallow our attention, our interest. Letting the simple movements of walking open up to us. Similarly with eating, so we walk there and we wait and we serve the plate and we sit down, and all of that can be continuous, loving what we love. And then it's also something a little bit different when we actually begin to eat. And feeling for how, what are the ways that help you expand into eating? Through textures and smells, or through reflection on what food is, or whatever ways there may be for you. So feeling for a continuity, as well as letting the different ways that we focus through being still, through walking, through eating, for example, letting those different ways of focusing our activity stay different from each other, different opportunities for opening to life, for exploring, for discovery, for quietness. Especially just worth saying, if we can consider entering the hall, really entering a place of utter quiet. So whatever water we might need to have drunk, or grass we might have needed to wipe off, we do as best we can to do that before we come in and after we leave this space, especially as the quietness starts to fill the hall. And feeling that release and relief of having a whole room dedicated to relaxing and resting deeply. Not needing to do anything else. Feeling now, if you wish, only if you wish, you can do it another time or never, if that feels better. Feeling now for your deeply innocent, nearly impossible wish for your life. And it can be helpful to feel if that feels possible, or if it's hard to wish yourself well. You could imagine or sense yourself as a child, or get a sense of yourself as if from above, from the top of the room, looking down and feeling the warmth of your body, the warmth of your presence, the warmth of your willingness, and the kind of breeze of the innocence that's there. The mystery of a breath happening by itself in a body that is at once so different and so same to the other bodies. This can be fruitful for a whole day to start to just feel the presence of what makes your life. What has been or what could be. That which makes your life. Makes your life not just be surviving physically, but makes your life alive. What makes things fall into place? What is that quality for you? And being open to a memory or memories to come that may help guide us in sensing. For a deep, non-mental, non-verbal knowing, recognition that sometimes feels cellular, sometimes feels even non-physical, a whisper. Of what's most important, so what has been important, and what's important inside all of those things that have been important. And all of those people, all of those relationships, all of those jobs, all of those places, inside those things, what's made it important? What's brought out a yes in you? An ah, or a silkiness? Or a sense of wholeness in the body, homeness. And if there could be a sense also starting now, starting today, or starting already yesterday, of allowing there to be intensity without hurry. So there could be an intense interest, for example, in being open to feel what is most important for that life. Or there could be an intensity of feeling, wow, I do deeply want that love, to love and be loved in that love. With or without another person nearby. always forget that peace that has come sometimes, that feels so good. Even if it's subtle, there could be an intensity or vividness. And as we fill up with resting, there can be a vividness in our energy that, as we spoke yesterday, doesn't need to make us be in a hurry to do stuff with it. So just playing with slowing down, continuing to slow down, rest down, lie down, be down in the feet, with intensity, with totality. So without holding back, but also without rushing forward. So no holding back and just being full. So we could play with letting this question of what is it? What's the quality that has in the past fit the pieces of the puzzle together with an ah? And not to hurry to find necessarily the one perfect name of that right away. Or not to be sure that what I have now that feels sure is the only answer. So keeping things open and at the same time with their vividness, their quality of really touching something inside. And then we can also play with, for now, using what words might feel comfortable enough. Never quite good enough, but comfortable enough to remind us of that quality. That we've had whispers or glimpses or light touches of or deep experiences of, whatever it may be. Whatever may be available to your memory now. And just trying on for size. How does it sound to you inside when you whisper to yourself or sing to yourself silently, may I be that quality, may I be at ease, for example, but your own words. May I be love. May I be free. And then trying on, how is it just to say the word ease, whatever your word is, peace, love, freedom, deeply natural, whatever your words are, your good enough words. And then how is it without words, just connecting to the sensation in the body of that? Or maybe there's an image that comes, playing with that. And what feels better to you? What feels like not too much work, struggle, complication, but enough to keep connection flowing? To keep remembering that it is okay and it is also inbuilt to have a deep wish for that life called you. And to leave room for how it's almost as if life has that wish in you, for you. So it's hardly a selfish thing. Even though it feels really good to feel its possibility and to let the cells drink it. Through whatever way gives you the ability to connect with image, one word, sentences, no words. The memory. And I'll be using words for a while to help you remember to connect. But if you're not using words, of course, stay with your own flow. What your sweet heart wishes for, what your deep heart is calling for. Simply. May I be at ease. May I be love. May I be free. So just letting your inner voice give a voice to that subtle, deep place. With wise eyes. And just one more experiment, maybe, before we continue with this practice. Of gently, strand by strand, leaning the mind in the direction of the deep wish, out of the habit tendencies, just with great tender care and understanding. Putting the mind more into alignment with the deep nature of us. So just one more pause and feeling contact with the ground, giving your body to the ground if you wish, or enjoying how that's already happened. And being present in the places of contact or a place of contact that calls you. Your skin on the ground. And just kind of having a presence there in that place of contact, as if that would be like a lake, that surface of contact, like a lake. And letting yourself, just the quality of your attention, just melt into that surface, to spread out there. Inside that lake of contact. Mm-hmm. maybe just going just under the surface. And just feeling what it feels like, and if there's a sweetness in the contact, then letting that sweetness fill you. Letting that spread out through your whole body. Just gently, like a fragrance of a flower. Or like pouring water into water. And so you could continue with, if there's a sense of sweetness from the contact with the ground, you could continue with that, or you could let that mix with your wish, or you could just stay with your wish. Letting the wish be again vivid enough that it would also be the same, like pouring water into water, filling your body and mind. With the deep, we could even say need. May I be at ease. Deep calling. May I be love. A deep, infinite stretch. May I be free. Filling the mind and heart and body with the quality, with that atmosphere or flavor, music, or texture. And letting whatever in you wants to enjoy that, dance with it, roll around in it, whatever, letting that happen inside you. The parts that rejoice in the quality. And the parts that it feels stiff and closed off, letting it be. Offering but not forcing. And we could rightly spend several weeks just with this much of the practice. And so it's just playfully for now that we'll expand it, and you can come back to just this simple gratitude for your being and wishing that your life be filled with this quality. So just now, the possibility of including the person nearest you in the hall, a real person. With marvelous toes, who's lost and who's gained. Who has a mind, heart, and body. And whispers of what's important. So similar and so different. If it's possible to feel for that deep wish in the person so that you're just offering it together, may you be at ease. So that there's a softness in the wishing, not a wall between you. May you be love. May you be free. When there is a wall, we can just reach right through it. When there is a sense of forcefulness, we can still move with softness. Through that fiery wall of force, right across it. May you be at ease. May you be love. May you be free. And just feeling your own rhythm, whether now you include a different person or stay with the same, or start to expand to the room full of people. Could also be, may we be at ease. May we be love. May we be free. letting the support of the ground encourage you, whether there's a sense of sweetness bubbling up like a spring or not. The ground always here, and the deep wish always here. The ground always here for everything and everyone, and the deep wish perhaps also in everything and everyone. Expanding as you wish, to include different creatures in and out of the hall, especially what moves you. So it could be a tree, or the grass, or a butterfly, or the people of this place, or the ground. It could be the easier for you, just feeling for yourself, it's easier to expand in circles around you, including everything that's around you. Or whether it's more vivid for you to connect to specific individual people or creatures or things. What brings out more tenderness and connection and feeling of being touched. May all beings in these fields, waters, and forests be at ease. Be love. Be free. Sensing the aliveness in what's around you and how there might be that same or similar wish bubbling up all around you. And losing somewhat the track of being the one wishing for the other, but more like a chorus together. And just expanding further if you wish, to include people who are farther away, or to include towns, roads, mountains. Ocean. People busy and bored and resting. People sick and well. Creatures being born and living and dying just now on our planet. May we be at ease. be love. Be free. Letting the words, if any, connect to the deepest, most nonverbal, experiential, silky layer that you know. About what your words mean. And just expanding further if it's fun. Or in your flow, coming to something smaller or more vivid, if that's what feels more real for you. But just gradually stretching, broadening across the whole and through the whole earth. The shimmering dark oceans, the deserts of extremes. The cities and wilderness and ice. Mountains, plains. Fields, forests, creatures with so many eyes, so many different colors and shapes, so many different ways of breathing. All in contact with the ground. Somewhere deeply wishing to be safe and happy and free. May we all be at ease. May all beings on and in the earth be love. Be free. Not because we've earned anything, but because it suits our deep nature. May we all be at ease. Be love. Be free. Connecting to what the words mean. way down deep. And simple. Ease. Love. Freedom. Just expanding even all around our earth to include everything known, and why not as well the unknown. May there be ease. Love. And freedom. Are there any questions or anything to share? I think it's kind of our main practice is right there, is between that sweet recognition of kind of home or some sense of what we deeply are, and then the like highly practiced sense of, some people talk about feeling that they're an imposter. Like I'm everybody else might be that, but I'm not really deeply that. I'm really deeply lacking. So we've practiced lack, so that's easy to feel. Also, it's kind of a heavy, hard state rather than a subtle one, usually, or relative to the joy. So feeling for a kind of wider place that could be steadily moving through the day, expecting that to keep going back and forth. And that kind of wide steadiness that is there whether I feel joyful and connected or whether I'm unaware of my connection. There's still a kind of, there can start to be a background sense of two things. One is just like an inbuilt okayness that actually might be there no matter what. And another is, a second is like the momentum of your practice and your life and the moments that have been genuine, that are still with you, that you don't have to keep them, they've stayed. So I think being ready to experience this, that the clenching and the fear, and to know that that's not the whole story. It easily feels that it is, but being ready that it's going to happen. And being ready, knowing that that's not, it'll want to feel like the whole story and the end of the story. And feeling already, like being ready for it, we're already ready that it's going to come and it's going to feel like that and say that. And it kind of gives a sense of, of more like no big deal. So then it's allowed. So that can start to crack the code a little bit. So one of the tricky things about that like deep, difficult place that's at the root of all the other difficult places, this place of lack, is our resistance to actually feel it. The resistance itself. And so having some, even if it's very faint, some sense, some that's kind of playful and wide, that knows that sometimes, even when I feel disconnected, it's not the end of the world. And we start to know that even when I feel disconnected, I'm not. I can never be. And so then there, it's more of an allowing to let it come and go. And then that also allows this training that knows, by practice and by contrast, this is clenching and lack, and this is something else that's harder to name. It certainly feels like joy right now, but there's also a way that it's kind of bottomless and not solid. And so it's good on a retreat to have that practice, even if it's also terrible. And I think it helps so much to know that we're in a room full of other human beings who have the same situation. That's what we're practicing. We're feeling that, and we're feeling something else. And that there is anyway and a deep okayness and a background momentum for all the moments of practice in whatever way they've come, where we put into practice what was most important. That has a power that's much more than the habit energies, however much respect we need to have for the power of the habit energies. So there's different ways. So when you're noticing a clenching and fear, sometimes it can just be the confidence to feel, okay, clenching feels like this, fear feels like this, with a little bit of a taste of so what, and also a little bit of interest. Oh, that's, I've been calling this fear, and then as we get into it, through the resistance, really into it, is it fear? There's even some excitement also, and holding on to, what was I holding on to? It's like, nothing. It's just the holding itself that has come to feel as if it's like a replacement for security, for safety. And then all the other ways, like changing the channel that we spoke of yesterday. So any direct experience. I always look out at green whenever I give that example. But it could be your feet, your breath, your belly, your hands, any taste, touch, smell, color, sound. Or the deep wish. Or just this, I don't know why I call it the hallelujah moment, where we notice how good it is that I can notice that this is clenching and this is fear, first of all. That's already an indication that I'm not completely drawn into that prison. even if most of me is, there's a part of me that can notice that. So that's already like, how does that happen? If I'm in the cage, who's noticing that this feels like a cage? And so even if it's just one little finger, still. And then letting it hurt to be in a cage. So there's the big picture, the big wide picture that it doesn't matter. We go in and out of the cage. No problem. It happens. And then there's also the picture of being in the cage hurts because it's too small. And mean. So it hurts because it's not true. And then through just letting it hurt is one thing, that life comes directly. When I just simply let it be that it hurts, which is different from how we usually feel pain. Yeah? And then another last would be like letting it hurt, and then that kind of makes a natural movement towards, or a movement where there's more room to feel what is also present, which is what doesn't hurt, or what the fact that it hurts calls for. So I said lastly, but there's another lastly. And I think it's just important to acknowledge that there is a lot of fear that's very natural, that does come when we experience ourselves in these ways that are so deeply pleasant and so deeply not contained, so deeply not territory, so deeply not what we thought we were, and so deeply insubstantial and ungraspable. It is threatening to our sense of solid self, even if it's wonderful. And so the fear is also natural. And it's with experience and feeling how this experience, it does actually deteriorate my sense of individual separation, and which is a death. And so let fear be present at the funeral, kind of. And at a certain point, there's we're more in touch with that other kind of, we can call it security or other kind of ground or safety, we can say. So then there's less movement for what isn't really safe anyway, but has come to symbolize safety. There's a couple more minutes if anyone else has another comment or question. Yes,
Ellen. I have a question around the truth. I feel the truth of that deep okayness. And there are times that I also feel the truth of incredible suffering that is, whether it's an individual or and I sometimes feel like I live in between those two. And I'm not certain. And I also feel like I can invite the sense of okayness when I'm really experiencing the suffering and that. So there is some integration. But my question is around, so my experience is that I live in between. And are those two, am I supposed to be able to integrate those two things fully? Or is the reality of being human not being able to do that?
Yeah. So when you're saying between, you're it looks like you mean back and forth? In that sense, between?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what would you answer yourself? Especially feeling for when you've been in touch with deep okayness, and then what happens when there's a going to the experience of deep suffering as a different place.
My experience is that I go fully into the deep suffering, or I can't.
But before, during, and after you go, what can you, if you try to leave room to for any impressions of what happens along that trajectory?
I don't know if I can speak to the. It's easier for me to speak about what happens once I recognize I'm in this place.
Okay.
Touching.
Okay.
Because I don't know if I can answer.
Mm-hmm. So the way that you have is good.
Where I can remind myself of some deep. I mean, in the way I think of it in my mind, the words are a deep stillness. And I remind myself of feeling that, and even the reminder can bring a sense of a piece of that into, and sometimes it's strong and sometimes it's very weak.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm worried that we're using that as a tool. And this is another question.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, to not, non-activity, to not respond.
Yeah.
But there's also sometimes, so that's true, and there's also the truth of feeling the truth of the deep stillness, regardless of the suffering that's also there. So I do feel a shift. I can feel transition from just feeling the pain of suffering to a reminder, like maybe the whisper, and then feeling a drop, where I'm still feeling the suffering, but feeling some sort of integration.
And when you're feeling the deep stillness and the deep suffering, how is the meeting with those who are suffering when there's also the deep stillness? And how's the response, or how's the action part? You might even feel, you might have noticed that in someone else as well as in yourself, just for, because sometimes, yeah, sometimes it's clear in someone who's feeling both deep stillness and deep suffering. There can be a quality that can really come across.
When I feel I'm less scared,
mm-hmm,
of suffering. There's more sense,
yeah,
of.
Mm-hmm. So more meeting.
Mm-hmm, more meeting.
And simplicity, maybe. And even like more room to feel my own fear of the suffering. Like to acknowledge that that's one factor going. It's not just that there's deep stillness on one hand and deep suffering on the other, but my fear of the suffering is another factor that we need to accommodate. So I would really love to invite you to keep investigating it. Any one meditation is so much, it shows us so much about the whole life, our whole life, and any one day and any one week. So it feels like there's a lot of opportunities for that investigation in this stillness here. And I would just also like to say from my own feeling one more piece to investigate or keep in mind or wonder about. Is partly sort of the integrity of those who are suffering and the dignity that if we could, when we do feel the possibility or the fact, maybe. I like your word, the way you said truth. I don't like the word myself, but when you said it, I really like the truth of a human dignity that's untouched by any violence, at the same time of acknowledging outrageous insult, but those two things together. And if we think for ourselves, when we're the ones suffering, how we meet and how people meet us, and what feels like more insult, and what feels like meeting, what feels like salve, is that the word? What feels like leaves room, what feels like two people together with not my suffering, but this situation. Yeah, it just comes to mind again to maybe be open to have, because there's so few examples in our own experience and also outside. But to be stretched towards what hasn't happened much or maybe never, or what seems impossible, is what we're here for, I think. So maybe there have been people that really inspired you in social action that you could feel like, what was inspiring? And I just have images of people where, like, there's a kind of glow. And to not feel shy to let those be role models, you know, like Gandhiji, like, just because he's recognized as a great one doesn't mean he can't be also our big brother. Who kind of teaches us how to throw a ball or whatever. But just around that fear of suffering and the stigma of being a sufferer, and how if I'm just only outraged that you've been caused to suffer, you're almost not a person to me. But if the outrage can connect all the way down through my own suffering to other layers that may be also there. It's actually interesting that there's a lot of, rhyming or something between the two questions. So that might help to investigate here. Thank you so much.